19, section 19. Going for refuge, old and new. In December 1973, I held the first of what was to be a long series of FWBO study retreats, as they came to be called. On these retreats, I would take a group of order members and others through a Buddhist text, discussing it line by line and word by word, and trying to relate it to our own understanding and practice of the Dharma. Most of the texts we studied were classics of Buddhist literature, canonical and non-canonical, but a few were modern works. Among the latter was Nyanaponikatera's essay, The Threefold Refuge, a study retreat on which I held at Padmaloka in the autumn of 1978. Nyanaponika was a Theravadin monk of German extraction who had resided in Kandy since 1952 and who had been largely responsible for founding and running the Buddhist Publication Society. His essay dated from 1948. In it, he not only explored the meaning of going for refuge from the standpoint of a liberal Theravadin, but also tried, as it seemed, to find a way of reviving the practice of going for refuge as an act of individual commitment to the three jewels. And it was mainly for this reason that I decided to hold a study retreat on this work. The Threefold Refuge was divided into two parts. Part one consisted of an abridged translation of Buddha Ghosha's exposition of a passage in the Majjhima Nikaya dealing with the refuges. Part two of Nyanaponika's own thoughts and comments. The latter fell into two sections. In the first section, Nyanaponika made some general comments on the subject of going for refuge, while in the second, he commented on Buddha Ghosha's exposition of the sutta passage. Instead of going through the work in regular order, which would have meant plunging straight into Buddha Ghosha's rather scholastic exposition, we studied first Nyanaponika's general comments on going for refuge, then Buddha Ghosha's exposition, and finally Nyanaponika's comments on that exposition, which in any case seemed a more logical way of proceeding. In the course of our study, a number of topics arose and were discussed. While these did not always relate directly to the subject of going for refuge, they invariably had a definite bearing on one or another aspect of the spiritual life. Among the topics discussed were the difference between passivity and receptivity, the beauty of the spiritual, emotional self-indulgence, love and power, authority, irrational guilt, immanence, making merit, magic and technology, and the difficulty of reforming a religion that has become corrupt. For the most part, however, our discussion revolved around Nyanaponika's exploration of the meaning of going for refuge, both in his own terms and as expounded by Buddha Ghosha. With some of his thoughts and comments, we found ourselves very much in agreement, as we certainly were when he pointed out that going for refuge was, or should be, a conscious act and not the mere profession of a theoretical belief, still at less the habitual right of traditional piety. End of quote. Indeed, there were times when the scholarly German monk seemed to be giving expression to our innermost convictions and, what was more, giving expression to them not only with precision but with eloquence. Nonetheless, the more we went through the Threefold Refuge, the more we became aware that, despite the author's evident sincerity, there was something seriously wrong with his whole approach to going for refuge. Though he defined going for refuge briefly as a conscious act of determination, understanding and devotion, adding that those aspects of going for refuge had their counterparts in the volitional, rational and emotional sides of the human mind, and that for harmonious development of character, the cultivation of all three was required, the fact was that in the last analysis, Nyanaponika's approach to going for refuge tended to be one-sidedly intellectual. He was more aware that devotion needed the support of understanding than aware that understanding needed the support of devotion, and more concerned to emphasize the difference between devotion and blind faith than the difference between understanding and merely theoretical appreciation. Faith might be explained in terms of reason, but understanding could not, it seemed, be explained in terms of emotion. As I observed in the course of our discussion, Jnanapanika's one-sidedness and his apparent fear of emotion may have been due to the fact that, living and working as he did in Buddhist Ceylon, surrounded by devout lay Buddhists who were accustomed to recite the refuges and precepts without thinking about their meaning, he felt it important to emphasize the aspect of understanding. Alternatively, he may have thought of his paper as being addressed to Westerners, or at least to the Western educated, and therefore assumed that for such people, an intellectual approach to going for refuge was the most appropriate. Whatever the reason for his one-sidedness may have been, Jnanapanika's tendency to play down the importance of emotion was characteristic of his whole attitude towards Buddhism and the spiritual life, at least so far as that attitude could be inferred from his paper. He made no mention of spiritual friendship, and in fact appeared to see the spiritual life exclusively in terms of a progressive disillusionment with the imperfections of conditioned existence, instead of seeing it equally in terms of an increased attraction to and fascination with the beauty of the unconditioned. Perhaps the most interesting part of Jnanapanika's paper was that in which he dealt with the four kinds of mundane going for refuge described in the expository passage translated in part one. These four modes of refuge, as he called them, were the surrender of self, the acceptance of the guiding ideal, the acceptance of discipleship, and homage by prostration. And Buddhaghosa explains the last three of these by reference to scriptural passages in which a particular disciple, having heard the Dharma from the Buddha, went for refuge using a formula other than the customary Bhutang, Saranang, Gacchami, etc. In Jnanapanika's view, the scriptural passages in which reference was made were not very enlightening, and indeed the connection between these passages and the modes of refuge which they supposedly illustrated was not always clear. The first kind of mundane going for refuge, the surrender of self, Buddhaghosa did not explain by reference to any scriptural passage, though he gave the refuge going formula with which it was traditionally associated. Thus, there were not only four kinds of mundane going for refuge, but also four alternative refuge going formulae, which served to emphasize the fact that it is going for refuge that matters rather than the particular form of words in which that act finds expression. According to Jnanapanika, the four modes of refuge were given in descending order, though he was not completely sure of this, beginning from the highest form, the complete self-surrender, and ending with the lowest, the homage by prostration, so that it was possible for him to correlate the three lowest modes with the three aspects of going for refuge, that is, the emotional, the rational, and the volitional. Homage by prostration represented the emotional side of taking refuge, acceptance of discipleship the rational, and acceptance of the three refuges as one's guiding ideal, the volitional. Once again, emotion was devalued in relation to reason. As for surrender to self, it represented the highest form of going for refuge, and Jnanapanika cited from Buddhaghosa's Visuddhimagga, or Path of Purity, a passage that seems to indicate that in what he called the early days of the Dhamma, it was customary to go for refuge in this way, employing the appropriate formula before asking the Guru for a subject of meditation. This appears to have led Jnanapanika to wonder whether it might not be possible for the formula of self-surrender to be used by those who, like the meditators of old, wanted to take Buddhism more seriously than did the majority of their co-religionists. Indeed, his conception of surrender of self seems to correspond to going for refuge as understood in the Western Buddhist order, that is, to our upasaka-upasika ordination. In other words, it corresponded to what I called effective going for refuge as distinct from cultural or ethnic going for refuge. For, as he was at pains to point out, though taking refuge by way of self-surrender was still far from the complete abolishing of egotism and self-delusion, it was a powerful means to that end and might mark the transition from the worldly or mundane refuge to which it belonged to the supramundane refuge at which it aimed. End of quote. However, the correspondence between Jnanaponika's conception of going for refuge of self, conception of surrender of self, and going for refuge in the sense of upasika ordination, as understood in the Western Buddhist order, was by no means perfect. In the case of the Western Buddhist order, one not only went for refuge as an individual, but also found that one was, by virtue of one's going for refuge, one of a number of people who had also gone for refuge. One found that one was a member of a sangha or spiritual community, with all that that implied in the way of spiritual friendship and cooperation. In Jnanaponika's conception of Buddhism and the spiritual life, there was, seemingly, no place for spiritual community, so that for him, going for refuge by way of self-surrender was an essentially individual affair, and the greatest of all vows, as he called the formula of self-surrender, was to be taken in the secrecy of one's heart, the presence of any witness to the taking of the vow being dismissed as publicity. Thus, although Jnanaponika saw that going for refuge had become the mere profession of a theoretical belief and the habitual rite of traditional piety, and though he saw in surrender of self the possibility of making going for refuge a conscious act, the fact that he was a Theravadin and living in Ceylon meant that he was not really able to do very much towards replacing the old cultural and ethnic going for refuge by a new, more conscious and individual going for refuge.